As Virgil told you this morning, the elders have asked that we, in the next few weeks, look at some Bible truths concerning the church. And so we will this morning look at how can I identify the New Testament church. Next week, we'll talk about the Lord's Supper. Following after that, the music question. Then prayer, giving, preaching. And then we'll decide where we'll go from there. Whenever Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, the day of Pentecost after that resurrection was seen as one of the long and important awaited days. There are important days. And then there are really, really important days. And then there are very, very special, supreme important days. The day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus was just such a day. It was a day that fulfilled so many of the prophecies and the teachings of the Old Testament. It was a day that the earthly ministry of Jesus was God's necessary preparation for this day. Shortly after Jesus had been raised from the dead, he commanded his apostles to go to Jerusalem. And he told them that there they would receive a special anointing, a baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, said, which you have heard of me, that John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, about 10 days later, we find that this is exactly what happened. On that day, the church began. Peter stood up and preached the very first gospel sermon, which was this same Jesus that you've crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. And over 3,000 people opened their hearts and were baptized that day, Acts 2 and verse 41. And the church that Jesus had promised to build was fulfilled. Matthew 16 and verse 18. And from that point on, the church becomes the center of attention throughout the rest of the New Testament. Christianity spreads throughout the world like wildfire. Men and women were added to the church daily as those that were being saved. And the church had its beginning on this first day of Pentecost, this very important day. But the beginning of the church raises the question, how will the church that Jesus established be designated in the New Testament? How will we know today? Well, because in these inspired men, God gave them the power to write these truths, to describe or to designate certain things that would help us to identify this church that Jesus has built. They express function. They express ownership. They express relationship. And by giving this divine direction, we have today the opportunity to identify the New Testament church. One of those designations is the designation of function. Relates to the function of the church as a body or as an organism. First of all, the church we see here is referred to simply as the church. In Colossians 1, verse 18 and verse 24, the meaning of the word church means to assemble. The word ecclesia, the called out to assembly. So as we look here in God's Word, we see that this designation of the church, the assembly sense, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, the local sense, the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, the church at Johnson, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. The regional sense, the church in Caesarea, the church in Galatia, the church in Rome, the church in Arkansas. That's 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. The universal sense, the church is used to mean the church that Jesus died for. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. Second, we have a designation of the church, and it's referred to as the body of Christ. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. Gave him to be head of all things to the body, which is the church, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, speaking of Jesus. And so, when we use this designation of the church, it gives us an understanding of the fact that the church is a body. Jesus is the head of the church. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 12 through 17, talks about how that the church is like a human body. Arms, leg, eyes, ear, nose, a smell. And he says that just as a physical body works together, so it is that the church does the same thing. It's a spiritual body of Christ on this earth, remembering that Christ is the head. And Paul says that Christians are members of this body. In fact, listen to him as in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. He says to the Corinthian Christians, "Now you are Christ's body and individual members of it." And then there is the designation we find in the New Testament that the church is referred to as the kingdom. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. The kingdom of heaven. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. The kingdom of God. John 3 and verse 3. But all of these phrases, the kingdom, designate the church as a spiritual kingdom, a spiritual nature. Ruled by God. Ruled by Christ. John 8 and verse 36. And then the church is a body of followers that are members of this body. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 24 and 25. The church is governed by God with Christ as its head. It is governed by the divine authority of the Bible. Now, there are other illustrations that help us to understand something about the church, like that the church is a sheepfold in John 10 and verse 1, and that Jesus is the door, or a vineyard, Matthew 20 and verse 1, or a precious pearl in Matthew 13, 44. 5 and 46. Now, these are illustrations of the New Testament church. They help us to understand the church better, but they are not designations of the church. The church is the church. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the kingdom. Those are the things that designate what the church is. But then we have designations of ownership. For example, in Romans 16 and verse 16, Paul says there that all the churches of Christ salute you. In Romans 16 and verse 16. In this designation, what the writers are doing is that they are emphasizing the church ownership. It belongs to Christ because He founded it, He purchased it, He owns it, He serves as the head of the church. And we give our lives to Christ and we belong to Him. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. And we are called Christians or followers of Christ. Acts 11 and verse 26. Chapter 26 verse 28. 1 Peter 4 verse 16. Then the church of Christ is to indicate possession, identity, and fellowship. But then it is also designated as the church of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. And this stands to reason. If it's designated the church of Christ because it belongs to Him, then it would certainly be accurately called the church of God, because as Jesus said in John 10 and verse 30, He and His Father are one. So what belongs to the Lord Jesus belongs to the Lord God the Father. God planned the church before the foundation of the world, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 verses 10 and 11. And He sent Jesus to the world to found it. Matthew 16 and verse 18. He purchased it with His blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. So Jesus was in Christ at the cross, and He was also with Christ in the founding of the church. One of the important purposes of this designation is to indicate identity. And then there is the designation of relationship. First of all, and I like this one, I use this a lot because family, my personal family means so much to me. I like the way that the Bible describes the relationship that we have to God as a family. And this Paul does in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Where he says that we are God's household. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, you ought to know how to act in the house of God, which is the family of God. At our conversion, God adopted us as children. He gave us family privileges. He made us heirs of the Father. We have a Heavenly Father to pray to. We have a Savior, an elder brother, Jesus, to pray through. We have brothers and sisters in the church that give us comfort and give us strength and give us encouragement. In the first century, they call each other brethren and friends. 2 Peter 3:15, 3 John 14. And then we see that the church is also described as the disciples of the Lord. Another designation in Acts 9 and verse 1. Disciple meaning learner or follower. And Jesus in the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and verse 19 told his apostles, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. This designation represents a continual relationship, a continual learning and growing as followers of the Master. And we as disciples are to be ever learning, to be ever growing. He is the Lord and Master, John 13 and verse 13. And he is we are the Lord's servants, Philippians 1 and verse 9, or verse 1. And then we see the designation that we are the temple of God. Paul said to the church at Corinth, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. The church, the assembly of Christians, form a dwelling place for God. We are God's sanctuary today, His living body. We are the church. We are called saints because we have been set apart by the gospel. And then the church is, in its relationship, is designated as the church of the firstborn. Hebrews 12 and verse 23. The church sustains a very unique relationship to the future. Because as a member of Christ's body, we are enrolled in heaven. We are in the Lamb's book of life. So the future for the Christians, do not hold fear or foreboding, but rather eternal hope that Christ gives us. We don't have to know what the future holds because we know who holds the future. And then finally this morning, the church is designated by its practices. Another identifying mark of the New Testament church is its practices. Anyone can claim to be a New Testament church, but the proof of that claim comes in its practices. So, what do we see as far as the scriptures are told? Well, we're told that the church worshiped on the first day of the week. And that in Acts 20 and verse 7, that they came together for the purpose of breaking bread or the Lord's Supper. We also see that while they were there, they sang together in Ephesians 5, 19, Colossians 3, 17. The New Testament church contains no record of instrumental music, nor does its worship, is it ever commanded to do so. We find that the church in the New Testament times was a praying church, or a giving church in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, up on the first day of the week. They laid by in store. It was a praying church. We learned that in Acts 2 and verse 42. It was a time whenever there were evangelists that preached and taught. 2 Timothy 3 and verses 1 through 7. We know that it was governed by elders, shepherds, 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7, and deacons or special servants, 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 11. If If my car were parked in the parking lot and it was threatening rain, and I ask you to go and roll up my windows for me, first thing you'd probably say, well, which one's your car? And I'd tell you, well, it's a Chevrolet. And you say, well, there's a lot of Chevrolets out there. I say, well, it's a Chevrolet Equinox. Well, that helps. But still, there may be several Equinox out there. If I said it's gold, now we're getting somewhere. If I told you that the license plate begins with 357, that's all I can remember of it, that would help you. But if I gave you my key and I said, now this will open the door, unlock the doors, and it'll start the car, you could find my vehicle in that parking lot out there with the descriptions that I'd give you, with the designations that I had given you. Well, I think that our task is the same today in identifying the church. I think that we have to look at the characteristics, the designations, the practices of the New Testament church and match them as closely as we possibly can. I ask myself, well, why would God care so much about these designations or these descriptions? And I realize how precious the church is to God. He loved it enough to send His Son, and Jesus enough to die for it. And I believe that our commitment to being God's church today should be just as important, should be just as vital, and that our commitment to that body as one of its members should be to do everything I can and anything I can to make the church what it ought to be and what God hoped that it would be. Because in Ephesians chapter 5, we read that Jesus is coming back to take unto Himself a church holy and undefiled. And He'll take it back home to His Father. You want to be one of those that when the Lord comes back, He takes back home with Him. And I certainly do too. So let us strive ever more diligently to seek and find that for which Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hear these great truths, believe them with your heart, repent of your sins, confess that He is the Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And God will adopt you as His child in His family, and you will have the promises of the blessings of God. Will you come while together we stand and sing?